We're into the middle of the month of February, and you know what that means. Spring training is officially underway. You already know that we have plenty to talk about in regards to the New York Yankees on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Yes, we're still in the middle of February, but spring training is officially underway. The New York Yankees have reported to Florida. They are getting ready for the 2024 season, and of course, there's a lot to break down with this team and what we're looking at in regard to, you know, what their chances are in this upcoming season. You know, there's a lot of expectations. Obviously, they're the New York Yankees. You're going to have those expectations, but there still are a few question marks around this team heading into the new season. We're going to break down as much of that as we can on this brand new episode. Of course, follow us on social media. Delahanty Media is our main go-to. Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. We don't judge. And then, of course, find us on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel, find all our latest shows and episodes. And, of course, if you're a Tar Heels fan, you can listen to our Talkin' Heels podcast, which has been going strong. As you all know, we're in the middle of college basketball season. So, for me, it's been a lot of fun. Been very busy, but, you know, I'm excited for Yankees baseball. I can multitask. I'm pretty good at it. So, that's what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks moving forward. So, let's get right into it. I don't want to waste anybody's time in terms of getting into the Yankees talk. There's a couple of topics that I do want to talk about that are relevant to what we're dealing with this current team. Number one, do the Yankees need another starting pitcher? Now, they've been heavily tied to Blake Snell, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner. There's also been rumblings that a possible reunion with Jordan Montgomery could be in the works. Now, if you look at the Yankees' rotation right now, there are a few question marks with this group. Obviously, Gerrit Cole is your ace. He's your workhorse. You expect Gerrit Cole to do Gerrit Cole-type things, especially coming off his Cy Young Award year. After Gerrit Cole, the rest of the rotation does concern me a little bit, and I'll go piece by piece. Carlos Rodon. Yes, he's had a good track record of being a solid pitcher in the big leagues. However, last year was atrocious for him. Really did not fit well with the Yankees. He really did not, you know, stay healthy, which was a big concern. But he's coming into camp and he looks pretty good in terms of how he's looking physically. And you just hope that he could stay healthy. We know about his nagging back injury that he's dealt with for a good portion of his career. You just hope that that doesn't come back. You're paying this guy a lot of money to be a clog in your rotation. Then you look at Nestor Cortez. And Cortez had a really, really good 2022. 2023 struggled after the fourth inning or so. Why is that? Well, I don't want to be that guy. And I like Nestor Cortez. I think he's a solid starter. But if he's going to be a guy that only could give you four innings, in the long run, that's definitely not going to help. And in defense of Cortez, I do think that last year the injuries really got to him and he wasn't that same effective pitcher. And you know what? Maybe for the Yankees, if they could put him in that fourth or fifth spot in the rotation, it could take some of the burden off of him instead of sliding him behind a Gerrit Cole or a Carlos Rodon and being like that third starter. So I do have high expectations for Cortez heading into this year. It's going to be a matter of if he could stay healthy and if he could find an adjustment to the adjustment that the Major League Baseball hitters have made against him. And that's going to be a big storyline to watch. Then you look at Marcus Stroman. I don't think anybody is going to question that guy's competitiveness. I've been somebody who has admired what Stroman brings to the table since he arrived in the big leagues as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. But there are the antics that scare me. Yes, he is a very valuable pitcher when he's on the mound. He can each innings, he can keep the ball on the ground. There's a lot of things that he can do. And he has that fire that, you know, would bode well in a playoff-like atmosphere in New York. And He also has always wanted to be a Yankee. Grew up in the area. You know, he's a guy that, you know, might embrace the pinstripes, which is a good thing. The negative thing about Stroman is, you know what, he could be a headache with the media. There could be certain things that go on with him. But he, as a fourth starter, makes a lot of sense for this team. He really does. And if he could just stay healthy and not be a distraction, I think that's going to be one of the best kind of low-risk, high-reward signings of the offseason. That's the kind of ability that Marcus Stroman has. And, you know, give somebody that motivation, it's going to drive them. And I don't think Stroman needs that extra motivation. I think he's highly motivated in itself, but he's a guy that I could see really finding a liking to pitching in the Bronx. And then your fifth starter is Clark Schmidt, 28 years old, about to be 29. He's a guy that, you know what, he's your typical fifth starter. But if you're the Yankees, you look at this rotation and you say, is this enough to compete, not even in the American League, in the league in general? You know, you got the Dodgers, the sleeping giant in the West, and the National League West, that is. But is this rotation good enough where if one of these guys go down, what do you have following? Are you really going to invest in a Drew Thorpe who you've never seen in the big leagues? You know, you traded away guys like Brito, Randy Vasquez, but you know what? If you're the Yankees and that's what it takes to get a guy like Juan Soto, who we're going to talk about in a little while, you do that. You drive those guys to San Diego. You have no problem with that. And Michael King is valuable. Yes, he wants to be a starter. Yes, but in the same token, the Yankees probably would have seen him more as a multi-inning reliever, something that King didn't want. Why? Because as a pitcher, if you could be a starting pitcher, that's where the money is. King's going into free agency. You don't think he wants to capitalize on that? So for the Yankees to make that move, yeah, you gave up a lot of pitching depth, but you got arguably a top five player in the game back in return, even if it is for just the 1 year. Now, I think that the Yankees could use another starter. Do I think they're going to overpay for one? No. But the way that this offseason has gone, the Scott Boras clients have really been impacted. Snell, Montgomery, Chapman, Bellinger, all these guys that are high-quality players are sitting on the market, and that's because of greed. Snell had an offer on the table from the Yankees, hasn't taken it, but there has been no rumblings yet of anybody else who has extended an offer to Blake Snell. Jordan Montgomery, who just won the World Series with Texas, you would think that Texas would be running with open arms to try to keep this guy. They're not making an offer because why? They're waiting for their TV deal and to see what kind of funds are coming there. They're going to be impacted by that. If they don't get the funds that they're looking for, they're not going to be in on Jordan Montgomery at the price that they're looking for, over $100 million. Cody Bellinger, you know, you would have said that the Yankees were probably his best fit. The Yankees went out and got Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo and said, you know what, we don't need another left-handed hitting outfielder. You know what, good luck. And now Bellinger's sitting there like, okay, are the Cubs going to sign me? Or is somebody going to get an injury and have to balk and meet my price tag? There's a lot of situations out there that are still unraveling as spring training goes along. And if you're the Yankees, why would you rush to sign a Blake Snell or a Jordan Montgomery? The only negative that it has is that these guys aren't in spring training revving up for the start of the regular season. If you're the Yankees, why would you overpay when you know that the ball is in your court and you have the upper hand? So yes, I do think that they should add another starter. Would I like it to be Blake Snell? Yes, absolutely. I would love to have a Blake Snell on my rotation. Yeah, I get it. He's a guy that probably gives you 5-6 innings, you know, throws a lot of pitches to get the job done. But what's not to like about him? Lefty arm, add another lefty to that rotation. A guy who pitched with Tampa, knows the AL East very well, is a competitor, kind of like that Marcus Stroman feel. Very smart baseball player. I would take my chances if you could get him. Listen, at this point, you can't have enough starting pitching. And the Yankees last year could have told you that. Watching them, how many different starting pitchers did they go through? Injuries. You never know what's going to happen with these guys. So to have an extra reinforcement definitely would be valuable. Do I think the Yankees pull the trigger like by the end of February? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen over the next week to 2 weeks before games get underway. But if you're looking at it from a bigger perspective, the Yankees could definitely use another starter. Now, envision this. And of course, it's not my money, so it's easy for me to spend because you know what? I see it both ways. The Yankees don't want to go over the luxury tax, but in the same token, fans are paying a lot of money for tickets and merchandise and things like that. So the way I see it is this. Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Blake Snell, Nestor Cortez. Clark Schmidt becomes your long guy out of the pen. Spot starter if needed. Obviously, you're probably going to see Schmidt start games. That rotation sounds a lot better than the one that, you know, is projected right now. And you hope that you get Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell, because he's coming off an NL Cy Young Award year. And if you don't think that the asking price for Snell is worth it, maybe a pivot to Montgomery, a guy who I still think they shouldn't have traded, even though they did when they got Harrison Bader. It's going to be a very interesting situation because there's going to be one of two things that happen. One, a team is going to need a starting pitcher. Somebody's going to get hurt in spring training. Of course, we hope that's not the case because we're not hoping that people get hurt, but that's just the way the game is. Injuries happen. Teams have to, you know, rush to make a quick decision. And you know what? They might have to overpay. The other situation is going to be that these guys are going to start to panic and realize, hey, we're only a couple of weeks from opening day. We got to get to camp and get revved up and ready to go with our new team, possibly. Let's get this deal done. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But as of right now, we're toward the end of February. I could really, really see the Yankees go out and get one of these pitchers. If you're looking at this roster and you think you can win a World Series right now, you have to take that chance. Gerrit Cole's in his prime. Aaron Judge is in his prime. This is not the time to fool around and take chances on what you think might be a decent starting rotation. If the price is right and you can make it work, go out and get me Blake Snell. Or get me Jordan Montgomery. I'll be happy with either one. I prefer Snell, but again, Montgomery's a guy that has proven that he can pitch in the Bronx. And now, who knows, maybe going elsewhere and teams not actually telling him to throw his worst pitch and actually let him throw his fastball, maybe he'll return to New York and be able to have more success than he did during his prior stint as a Yankee. Now let's go to the offensive side for a little bit. Juan Soto. Obviously, this guy is somebody who you're going to have hit at the top of your order. Aaron Judge, who has been hitting second a lot for the Yankees over the last couple of years, has openly voiced how he wants to hit third. Thank you. Somebody has finally listened. I'm sure Judge knew it, but I've been calling for Aaron Judge to hit third probably since they moved him to the second spot in the order. I cannot stand Judge hitting second. Here's why. Last year's a perfect example. Anthony Volpe, who the Yankees moved up and down and sideways around the lineup, couldn't get into a rhythm because I felt like they were moving him around too much. When Volpe was leading off and Judge was hitting second, you could tell that there was some kind of frustration on Judge's face because pitchers were worried about Volpe on the bases. And in turn, Volpe's not trying to ruin Judge's at bat, and he's not running at the level he's capable of. But now, you had a guy who, in DJ LeMahieu I'm talking about now, who can take pitches, can hit the ball the other way. I don't understand why we didn't go Volpe, LeMahieu, Judge. Yes, I get LeMahieu was injured and missed a good portion of the year. But, you know, at the same time, you mean to tell me that they couldn't plug somebody in that spot and give them some more protection? Hitting behind Aaron Judge is a luxury. And it's a luxury that Juan Soto is going to have this year. Because if Aaron Boone has that order messed up, he should be fired on the spot. I hate to say it, but he should. There's no two ways about it. The way the Yankees should look at this lineup this year, if LeMahieu's healthy, LeMahieu's your leadoff guy. Case in point, you keep him in that leadoff spot, you have Soto in the second spot, Judge in the three, and then you go on from there. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If LeMahieu isn't hitting or LeMahieu continues to show signs of declining, which again, I do think stem from that injury that he suffered in 2022, I really do think he's better than what he was last year, and I think he's going to have a great year in 2024. Now, if he's not able to go or if he's not healthy, what's your next option? Do you plug Volpe in that spot? I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I would look to two other guys that you could probably mix and match with depending on who's the opponent's starting pitcher. Gleyber Torres is a guy who comes up to mind for me because, you know, you saw him a little bit in the leadoff spot last year. He could really benefit from hitting in front of Soto too. Or if you're facing a tough righty and you want to stack the lefties, maybe Alex Verdugo sees a couple of at-bats in the leadoff spot. I think this team has more flexibility than a year ago because you have more left-handed power. Austin Wells, who's going to see a lot of time at catcher because Trevino is dealing with a little bit of an injury. He's probably not going to be ready when spring training games get underway. You're going to see Wells a little bit ahead of schedule there. And that's a benefit for a young catcher because you're catching the guys who are in the rotation or in the bullpen. So for, you know, a guy like Austin Wells, he's going to get the at-bats and the experience that could help him come opening day. So you have him, you have Verdugo, not even talking about Soto yet. Anthony Rizzo, who you hope is the guy he was in the first half before the concussion. You have a lot of left-handed pop, which last year they really didn't have. So the lineup's more balanced and you can, you know, mix and match. And if you get a healthy Giancarlo Stanton, that just adds another element to it. So there are different things that you can do. But opening day, DJ LeMahieu should be plugged in the leadoff spot, followed by Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Torres, Wells and or Trevino, Verdugo, Volpe. You know, you have options. And I think that if you're looking at it from that perspective, it's a good problem to have. And it's a good thing that you have some guys who can handle the leadoff spot because you're really looking for somebody to, you know, take pitches and work the count and get on base and be a pest on the base paths and things like that. So, again, I am going to tell you, LeMahieu, Soto, Judge, opening day, or I riot. Well, I probably won't riot. I'll be way too excited to watch Yankees baseball, but still, I won't be happy with it. Now, very concerning to me, Aaron Judge's toe. They came out and said that his toe injury, which he suffered in LA against the Dodgers last year, he said that it's going to need maintenance probably for the rest of his career. Now, after just paying him last offseason, that's something that really concerns me. I'm not going to lie. Something that I really wish wouldn't have came out to the media. But I get it. You're going to have to keep maintenance on things and you're going to have to monitor, you know, situations. And I just hope that it doesn't become an instance where Judge is impacted by it and it affects his play. You know, if you have to maintenance it, you have to give him a couple of days off or have him DH a couple of days, that's perfectly fine with me. But that does have to concern you a little bit that the toe is probably not 100% and maybe will never be. If I had to give a concern rating out of 10, I would probably give it a 3. I'm not going to say, oh man, I'm panicked. He's never going to be a good hitter again. That's not the case. What I do think is we just have to see how it plays out. And hopefully it's not something that nags at him. Because look at what happened with DJ LeMahieu's toe. That was something that really impacted him and really diminished what he was able to do on a baseball field. Do I think that's the case for Judge? I wouldn't say that. But it will make you panic a little bit if he starts having trouble with it early on in the year. And the Yankees, you know, really need his bat in the lineup. So he's not a guy you can lose. And then let's talk about Giancarlo Stanton. That guy, he is a player for me that when I think of him, I think he handles New York the best way a professional athlete could. New York is not an easy place to play. It is not an easy media base to work with. It is not the easiest fan base to please on a nightly basis. But Stanton is the first one to hold accountability to himself. He's come out a couple of times and said, listen, when I go 0-for-4, they should be booing me. I'm not doing my job. And Stanton has been plagued by injuries. You know, when he came to New York, the Yankees wanted to make him a full-time DH, which I didn't agree with at the time because I did feel like he could play the field. And even if you used him a couple of days in the field, they made him into a four-at-bat player, and you could just tell he was way too big and bulky. Last year, he couldn't even run. The instances where they had him in the field, it was hard to watch. And Brian Cashman came out and said, you know what, he's an injury-prone player, all this stuff. And it seemed to really motivate Stanton. And yeah, if I was him, I would be upset by the comments, and rightly so. But what he did, you know, he addressed him. Obviously, when he got to spring training, he's like, you know what, I don't agree with him. You know, I don't think that Brian Cashman was right in what he was saying. But I am going to tell you this. I'm going to work my butt off to become a baseball player again. And when he stood next to Aaron Judge, and there's pictures on social media that show it, he looks like a twig compared to Aaron Judge. And it just goes to show you what kind of process Stanton went through during the offseason, not only to get in better shape, but to be more accountable and to be a guy who could be more reliable for this Yankee team. Yes, people will go out and say, oh, you're making a lot of money and they don't want to play. Giancarlo Stanton wants to play the game. Like, don't mistake in his injuries for not wanting to play. He's just a guy that big, being limited the way he was limited as a DH, couldn't stay healthy because, you know what? Maybe he wasn't in the best shape in regard to, you know, being a DH. Maybe he had to add some stretching routines or maybe just lose some weight to get to that form. And based on how he looks in spring training in terms of his physical appearance, you have to be encouraged with what Giancarlo Stanton did this offseason. And you have to give him kudos for putting in the work and putting in the effort because, quite frankly, a lot of guys would have been like, you know what, I'm making a lot of money. I really don't care. Look at what's going on with Anthony Rendon in L.A. That guy is basically telling the media, yeah, my family and God come first, but baseball's a job for me. You're making $245 million, and that's how you're going to talk to the media? If Stanton did that, the fans would crucify him. Literally would crucify him. So while we look ahead to the season, and obviously it's hard to think that Giancarlo Stanton's going to be a 162-game player, which he's not going to be. We know this already. But give the guy a chance to prove that he could stay healthy and on the field because the Yankees are going to be better if he could be even a caliber of what he's capable of being. That guy who goes up there and absolutely crushes the baseball. The Yankees could use that. So I think he's off to a good start. I like where he is in terms of his health. I think that it was a good adjustment for him. He looks a lot more loose at the plate when you watch his live BPs. So for me, I'm very encouraged by Giancarlo Stanton. And I hope that it sticks because I do think that he could have a big year for this team. And I'm not looking for him to hit 50 homers by big year. You know, he's a capable dude to do that. Give me 30 homers, 100 RBIs. Hit for a decent average. Get on base. You know, that's what I'm looking for. And those are things Giancarlo Stanton could easily do. He's that good of a ball player. He just has to get back to that form. So, again, I'm happy with that. I'm a little concerned with Judge. I'm happy the Yankees have lineup options. And, of course, go get me another starting pitcher because you can't have too much pitching. And I think we've learned that over the last couple of years because the Yankees are one of the most injury-prone teams in the league. At some point, you got to address the need and realize, you know what, your window to win is probably now. Gleyber Torres is coming up to free agency. LeMahieu's getting older. Judge is getting older. Cole is getting toward the end of his prime. Go out, do what you got to do. Keep everybody in bubble wrap during spring training. Go into opening day healthy and wreak some havoc. But leading up to opening day, we'll be back with plenty of more episodes of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. Man, I got to tell you, it was fun talking some Yankees baseball. And of course, we love having that opportunity to talk Yankee baseball with you. Follow us on social media to continue those conversations and feel free to share our show with your Yankee-loving friends. Heck, if you want to annoy a Red Sox fan, send them the link. They can listen to our talk as well. They probably would hear more production in this podcast than the Red Sox front office did during the whole offseason. You know, I know it's early to start throwing daggers at the Red Sox, but hey, it's never too early for that. But until next time, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.